You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome back to part two of the Steelers preview. I'm Jeff Hartman, co-editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Joining me as always, Brian Anthony Davis, our podcast producer, and Dave Schofield, the other co-editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. And we're talking all things Steelers. And you know what? I wanted to do this last week, but I said, let's hold off because we got into, we talked about the Nickelodeon game last week and I was getting all fired up. And that was just a raucous discussion. I mean, I was,
It
was award-winning stuff, needless to say. This week, I was like, let's push it back. Bold predictions. It's something we usually do. We usually, every week, we do a bold prediction for that upcoming game. But here's what I want to ask you guys. What is your bold prediction for the offseason? So think about it. What is a prediction that you're making? It can be a roster move. It could be an extension. It's got to be bold, though. So, like, don't say Dwayne Haskins is going to get cut. That's not bold. Like, that's not – that wouldn't shock anyone. They'd be like, oh, Haskins got cut. That's not surprising. So, Brian, I'm going to let you go first. Are you ready?
No, but yes. I'm
Dave, do you have one? I'm going last.
I can go.
Go ahead.
So, there's a lot of guys. There's 19 guys on that list right now as unrestricted free agents. I know there's two more that you're looking at as well. But as always, if I'm going to do a bold prediction, I'm going to do a bold prediction with Bougie. So Bougie Smith-Schuster, his owner, Juju, will be one of the guys that I'm talking about here. So you've got three big names. You've got other big names. But you've got three names that you're looking at keeping. Bud Dupree, which no one thinks anybody's going to keep Bud Dupree. We're looking at Juju, and we're looking at, let's throw in James Conner on that list too. Now, I'll throw in a fourth. I'm going to throw in another guy that everybody's talking about, Mike Hilton. Of those four, one of those guys, at least, maybe two, but one guy is definitely going to be back with a pretty good deal.
Who is it?
Oh, no, I was going to say one of those guys. But actually, you know what? I actually think that you will see Juju back in a Pittsburgh Steeler uniform next year.
Ooh, okay. All right. I'd say that's pretty bold. Real quick before we go over to Dave, Justin Payne gives us $4.99, and I didn't see a question there. Dave, if you see something.
I was looking to see if you put okay. one in.
If it's just a tip, we appreciate the tip. Thank you very much.
Justin. No, but his avatar, you saw it, right?
Yep. I wasn't hired for my disposition, Mr.
It was
Greg
the Greg Lloyd.
Lloyd
t-shirt. I want that shirt.
Steve O gives us $5. Hey guys, love the podcast. What's your opinion on Dwayne Haskins signing? I like the move. Steve O, go check out the beginning of the show. We spent about the first, I'd say, 15 minutes or so. I think we all said it's a low risk, potentially high reward move. You know, there's not a lot of risk involved, but check that out. We go in depth on that. Thank you for the tip and thank you for the kind words. Dave, bold prediction time. What is your bold prediction?
No, it needs to actually be a bold prediction, unlike whatever Brian just threw out there. I'm not really sure. You know, the Steelers have 19 free agents. They're going to sign one of them. Okay. No, sorry.
Okay.
Mine's not going to be on that bold either. You ready? The Steelers will draft at least three offensive linemen.
Okay. I like that. I like that. Any specific positions? Are you looking for position versatility?
Why?
Yeah, so you're talking about center, guard, and tackle?
because it might be somebody that can that is like center guard eligible. It all depends on how it falls out and everything. I mean, it could be one person that could play both interior spots and two tackles. It could be a center, a guard, and a tackle. It's going to be something in there. And I'll even go as far as to say two of them will be in their first four picks.
Oh, very good. There you go. My bold prediction is I'm going to tie this in with what Dave said. It's going to center around the NFL draft, and this is going to definitely get us going on a tangent.
I know. I'm ready for this.
And that is the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to make a very bold move, and I think they're going to trade up in the first round and draft a quarterback in the 2021 draft. I'll even give you a name. If this guy gets to pick 10, I'm all about the Steelers doing like even a Minka Fitzpatrick type trade to get him. And that's Trey Lance. Trey Lance, quarterback. It's a Bison, North Dakota State. I'm telling you, that's my bold prediction. I would love to have that guy. He's not ready right now. He's really young. But I tell you what, he's got the athleticism that you want to see. He would usher in a new style of Steelers offense when Ben Roethlisberger's done. Okay, so Dave and I got into a discussion. A debate, we'll put it that way, on our Slack channel the other day. And I was telling him about I was going to do, I think it was my podcast on Wednesday. I was doing my For Let's Ride. And Dave's like, that's stupid.
You're an idiot.
He was calling me all these names and stuff. I was very demoralized. But still, I wanted to
point Jeff was crying. He was upset. He called me up crying. He's like, man, I know I usually I text you, but Dave hurt my feelings.
That's what I do. I'm a crush.
So anyways, my whole thought process around this is that I don't think the Steelers want or need someone to come in and play right away. Let's follow the Patrick Mahomes, the Aaron Rodgers method. More so Mahomes, he only waited 1 year. Rodgers had to wait longer behind Brett Favre. You know, the Packers did this with Jordan Love last year. I don't think there's a problem with taking a quarterback if you think there's value there, even if you know they're not going to play immediately. Now, Dave said, and I'll give him a chance to rebut. You will.
Let me say what I'm going to say.
Go ahead and say what you said.
Let me say what I said. Go ahead. Now, because you also forget something. There's another player that you need to put on that list that was drafted to sit for a year, and that is one Benjamin Todd Roethlisberger. You know, it took a preseason injury and a week one injury for him to be the starter as a rookie. That was not the plan.
So
that's why what I'm going to say, remembering what happened to one BTR, is why I like the plan that I laid out. And that is, does Ben Roethlisberger become the quarterback he became and is still with the Steelers today, this long, two-time Super Bowl champion, three times to the game, blah, 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 all that stuff. If in his rookie year, he did not have the weight of the world thrust upon him because the Steelers had a great defense and a great running game. That, when you bring in a young quarterback and you have that established, that is going to give them a better chance to succeed. Even if the plan is to sit them for a year, because sometimes, you know what? The plan wasn't for Duck Hodges to start games in 2019, and that's what friggin' happened. So my thing is don't get the cart before the horse. The Steelers, take this time, take this draft, everything else. You've got the defense. Invest in improving the running game. Some people feel that means taking a running back in the first round. And that's not the way I'm leaning. It's not that I'm saying if the right guy isn't there, I'm opposed to it. But if I had to pick right now, I'm going more in building the offensive line. You need to build this offensive line. You need to get it younger and ready. So then you don't want to take what would be a great quarterback and have it not be the best situation for them if you have the time to take one more year to build your team to be that.
I hear what you're saying. I don't disagree with you, but you said if a quarterback doesn't have the weight of the world on their shoulders, the best thing for them, running game defense. So he wouldn't have the, if let's say it's Trey Lance, because that's who I said. he wouldn't have the weight of the world on his shoulders because he knows he's not going to start. Roethlisberger's a starter. That's fact. Okay. He knows that his
Mason goes down, and then that's a different story.
That's a different story. They have the defense. I think even if Bud Dupree's gone, even if they lose Hilton or Sutton, I still think their defense is going to be really, really good next season.
Adding a little bit to it.
Absolutely. Yes. And I also think the Steelers have proven on multiple occasions with multiple players that they are capable of finding good quality offensive linemen in the middle to late, sometimes the undrafted category. Matt Filer, Ramon Foster, undrafted. You think about Kevin Dotson. He was not a day one. He was a day three pick, wasn't he? Wasn't he fourth round?
Yeah, 4B. He was after McFarland.
And he was by most people's standards.
He was before McFarland because we came on to talk about Dotson and then the McFarland. No, maybe I'm wrong. They were both.
It doesn't matter. What I'm saying is that's a fourth round pick that most people would argue was the best offensive lineman they had by the end of the season as a rookie. So the Steelers have an eye for these offensive linemen. I feel like if you did have to take draft capital, and you had to move up, and you get your quarterback for the future, and you are 100% the offensive coordinator you have is creative, can work with this young kid, can really get him ready, then when you hit, and when Ben's done after 2021, assuming he stays healthy, and he says, I'm done, in 2022, you're ready to hit the ground running. You're avoiding the Bubby Brister eras, the Mike Tomczak eras, the Neil O'Donnell, be quiet, Brian, the Neil O'Donnell eras, the Cordell Stewart eras, the Tommy Maddox eras. You're avoiding all of that. I think they have to look for the future of the quarterback position. Now, Brian, you're not a part of this debate. You're the judge. Now you have to say not who wins and loses, but what do you think is the right approach in this debate?
First of all, I'm going to shock you guys with this statement. Not only did I listen to Jeff's podcast on Wednesday morning, Let's Ride, I listen to the Stat Geek and the Rebuttal Show.
Someone check his temperature.
And not only did I do that, I listened to the Scobros, and I went back and listened to your shows from last week as well. So I'm catching up, and I'm listening to stuff. And if I had a vote here, my first inclination is, bear with me on this, my first inclination that Dave is right that we should have offensive linemen in there. But when Jeff jumps in and talks about the Dotson deal, and I start looking at guys that you potentially are going to have back next year, and that includes Zach Banner because he's a possible cheap signing. You've got Zach, you've got Chooks, you know, Filer's probably going to be gone. You're probably going to keep DeCastro. DeCastro, I mean, he's still signed. You might even keep Pouncey for one more year. So you have a good bit of your offensive line back, even if Villanueva goes. And with Dotson there, you do have a serviceable offensive line. You can bring offensive linemen in. If your plan was, and we go back to the scapegoat, if the scapegoat was the fact that the offensive coordinator, the running game, and the protection wasn't working, and you get that fixed, this team is further along than you would think. The big gap will be when Ben is finally gone, and really, that window is so close to being shut right now. You want another bold statement? Ben Roethlisberger's last year will be 2021. He's not coming back after that. That's not that bold because a lot of people think it, but so Jeff's plan is the one plan that I'm going with here. So, Dave, I love everything you're saying, and you're right on everything you're saying. But for what I want to see, I don't want them to, you know, I don't like waiting until you need a guy.
Well, here's the thing, and now I get to tell you how you're wrong because the live chat's bringing this up too.
Okay, let me one more thing though, because when you wait for a guy, then you make desperate picks. We talk about how great that 2004 draft was quarterback, the one team that wanted a quarterback, but they were waiting too long at number 24. Who did the Buffalo Bills pick? They picked their quarterback of the future too, JP Loserman.
Tulane.
Yeah, I don't even know where the guy was from.
Tulane. He came out of Tulane.
Yeah, Tulane, and he was picked too late. No, I mean, no. But, you know, here's the thing. You can't wait until – someone's gone to say, oh, we need a backup plan for Ben. He's gone. You just don't do that. And for everybody in the live chat that thinks that Dwayne Haskins was brought in to be a successor and start, he's not going to start.
He does not change anything if the Steelers are one.
Yeah, he's not in the equation.
Now, are you ready?
Yeah.
What you came with your argument were for Ben, and you don't want to wait till it's too late. You're doing that to the offensive line. Do you really want to not? Because if you're going to trade up to get that quarterback, you're going to lose draft capital this year and next year.
Well, and hold on. What did the Steelers give up to move up to get Devin Bush? I literally can't remember.
They gave up their two, and they gave up the next year's
three.
Yeah, okay. But you don't really give up a one. You just swapped.
Yeah, you swap your one, you lose your two, you give up the three next year. But that was to move up 10 spots. Now you're talking, if you want Trey Lance, I'm sorry, he's not going to be there at 12. He's not.
You would be surprised. There's some people that say that he's taking him at 12.
If he is, then that's great. But my problem is do you want to invest, first of all, you're having a number one pick that then doesn't help you this year. Then if you have to give up your number two pick, then let's say you give up your one or your two the next year. That's taking your capital of where you're – know that – I mean, even if you bring back Pouncey, is he going to be any more than a year? If you bring back DeCastro, does he got any more than two? You know, you're going to have to also have an answer at multiple positions on the offensive line. That's why this is the year to take your draft capital. If anything, if you really like guys that are going to be available, trade back and get more. I'm not saying they should, but I'm just saying they could. And then if you know if BTR is going to be here for one more year, then you go with that to build your line. And then you have someone that's ready that if you want to trade up, I don't want to trade up and get a guy that high that then you know you just aren't going to use this year. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad plan. I'm just saying.
Do you think the Chiefs were saying that with Patrick Mahomes when they traded up and they knew he wasn't going to play over Alex Smith? Do you think they're regretting that?
No, but also remember he was ready to go if something happened to Alex Smith, and it didn't happen then. It happened the next year whenever it happened. So we're going to lose the super chat if I don't bring it up.
I have it here, Justin's. Yeah, I had it. I was saving it too. Well, $4.99. He finally gave. He didn't have to give us another tip. I'm pretty sure he could just put the question out there. But Alejandro Villanueva, just talking about the offensive line, gave up two sacks and had a total of three penalties all year long in 2020. I don't get the hate on him. He gave up three sacks in 2019. Yeah, there's a lot of people that think that Villanueva has seen better days and that he's basically done. The statistics maybe don't bear that out. I'm not saying that they bring back Villanueva, but at the same time, I don't know. What do you guys think about Big Al?
You know what? I don't really agree with all the hate on Big Al because I think he's still very serviceable. But I want to go back to the end of June when Dave, Michael Beck, and myself, we had Zach Banner on here. And Zach Banner kind of hinted that you know, he backtracked a little bit, but he kind of hinted that Big Al's winding it down pretty soon. And he'd like to be in a spot with whoever wins that right tackle position, whether it was he or Chooks, then they would have an opportunity to move over to right tackle maybe next year if something happens when Big Al leaves. Big Al's 32. And because, you know, he had that stint in the military. And there has been a lot of writing on the wall that he's not going to be signing another deal. So I know it's pure speculation, but he's probably not going, unless he wants to come back, and all signs right now are pointing that he's not going to, it just doesn't seem like it. I don't think there's hate on him from the organization. I think the organization still believes in him. I just think he's winding it down, and that's what I'm looking at. I just don't expect him to come back.
Now, some people might not like using the metric of PFF, but they at least quantify something with their scores. You don't have to agree with them. But according to PFF, Alejandro Villanueva was the highest rated offensive lineman for the Pittsburgh Steelers last season. People that said, oh, well, he's also usually has the hardest assignment as well, being the left tackle. Not only that, he had the third highest rank of any player on the offense for the Steelers. Guys, have any idea what players would have been ranked higher in the Steelers' offense, regardless of snap count?
Kevin Dotson?
No, it's not linemen. It's not linemen.
Okay.
Because how long?
Chase Claypool.
Chase Claypool had the highest score of any offensive player for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're not going to guess the second one. Only 0.1 behind him was Mason Rudolph.
I was going to say Jimmy Washington.
No, it was Mason Rudolph had a pretty. I mean, he only had 79 offensive snaps, but still. So people that are all like Villanueva. The problem is when you're dealing with age. We saw it so much with the Steelers this year. Is you're like, well, what happened to the offense and why did everything fizzle? Yeah, I do believe that Randy Land did not have a plan and did not stay ahead of the curve, but. Like Wes called it when it happened. I said, oh, no, they just got to roll with it. Them not having a bye and everything, these older guys wore down. You're talking about Ben. I mean, I want to see this from Jeffrey Benedict. I want to see a film that shows week 1, 2, 3 Ben versus week 15, 16 playoff Ben and to see how physically different he looked because the wear and tear of a season, you know, wearing him down, if there was one or not. But that's what happens when you're dealing with guys that are older playing in the league. So I don't know, you know, just because age catches up to everyone eventually. Big Al was not as bad last year as what people made it out to be, but he is getting up there. So I do understand that the Steelers move on.
ESPN had him ranked pretty high on the top free agent list because he just valuable left tackles. And if he still has a few years left, I don't think the Steelers should entertain bringing him back unless it's at a bargain basement deal, because this is one of those situations. Let him go early, not too late. Okay. Let's go on. Do you have trivia, Dave?
I do.
Let's do it. Let's do trivia next.
Okay. We'll do trivia next. Sorry.
I won that debate, by the way. Live chat said so.
Oh, no. I mean, why? Because you, not if you're listening to the live chat, that's where you really do. You need to put that poll out there. Because, I mean, convincing Brian, I mean, that's – never mind.
Wow, Dave, you've heard me. You've cut me today.
You heard me the other day, Brian. It's okay.
Wow, there's some venom.
Here's the reason, just to sum it up, the reason that I like my argument better than your argument, Jeff, is because if you do your argument this year, you can't turn around and do the opposite next year, where the Steelers could do the offensive line this year and then the quarterback the next year, regardless of who they are. But because if you make that move for the quarterback, you're also hurting the following year doing as much with it. And that's why I'm like, do that first and that second order of operations. Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally, and here's some trivia. All right. Very interesting. Because the Steelers went out and signed a quarterback to a futures contract today, I was looking at some stuff with quarterbacks during the 2020 NFL season. And there were 31 quarterbacks who started 8 or more games in 2020. That means there was a team, and it's not that one team had one guy with 8 and another guy with 8. It didn't happen. There's just one team missing from the list. You guys know what team is missing?
That did not have a quarterback start for 8 games.
Quarterback start 8 or more games.
The Washington football team.
It was the Washington football team. That was kind of the setup there. My question is, how many quarterbacks do you think started all 16 games in 2020?
For Washington?
No. For what? Quarterback start. What? Seattle has 2
losses? Seriously, I'm talking about it.
NFL quarterbacks this season started 16 games.
Oh, well, that's here. Well, it's ready, Brian. We can start the list. Okay. So Tom Brady started all 16. I think Russell Wilson started all 16.
BTR?
So, no, he didn't play in week 17.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Lamar did not. Baker Mayfield started all of them. Mr. Burrow did not. Stafford did not. Trubisky, no, Chicago, no.
Tannehill did, right?
Kirk Cousins started all 16, I believe. Not in New England, not in the Jets, not in Miami. Jacksonville, no. Indianapolis, Phillip Rivers started all the games. Okay. Dallas, no. Washington, we know not. New York, no.
You keep it track. No. I hope.
I have five so far.
Okay, so you are.
Did he count Tannehill? Because I think he started, right?
Yep, Tannehill's at six. Mahomes did not play in week 17, nope. So he doesn't count. Drew Lock, no. Derek Carr, yes, no, yeah, he did start every game. Derek Carr, seven.
What Justin about Baker?
Baker, I have him on the list. He please start every game.
He's going through the teams.
I am. That's exactly what I'm doing. Now, if you go to Herbert, no, because Tyrod Taylor got hurt in pregame, didn't he? Or did he actually start that game in week one, Brian?
He started week one, yeah.
It was week two that
okay, he got like the punctured lung when he was getting, so he was not one. San Francisco, no. I already said Russell Wilson. Kyler Murray?
No, I don't believe
I think he did. I think he did. I'm going to go with eight.
Did he get Josh Allen? I mean, if he did.
I did not get Josh Allen. That's nine. And we know the Rams, no, they did not. I know I'm missing someone. I have nine, Dave. Is that right?
So you're going with nine. Brian, yeah. You going to take a shot in the dark?
I'm hitching my wagon to Hartman.
Okay, the answer would be 13.
Dang, who did I miss?
Okay, I'll give you the list real quick. Russell Wilson, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Tom Brady, Kyler Murray, Phillip Rivers, Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford.
Listen, Aaron Rodgers played in week 17?
Yes, he did.
Wow, yeah. I didn't know that. Okay, I thought
you said Rodgers. I'm sorry.
Matthew Stafford, I kept thinking he was going to miss. Really? He was injured, and he started them all.
That's another one I missed.
Deshaun Watson.
I missed him.
Ryan Tannehill, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, and Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan.
But I have one more question.
Okay.
Out of those 13, there was one that played every offensive snap for their team.
I think, and that includes not coming off the field for like a gadget play and stuff like that. I'm going to go with Tom Brady.
I like that. I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers, though.
Okay. Tom, when they blew out Detroit, Tom Brady came out, I think,
in
the quarter. So you got to think of a team that was trying to fight in all their games. It was one, Kirk Cousins.
Oh, there you go. Kirk Cousins
played every offensive snap, the only quarterback to do that in 2020.
Good stats. I like that. Like that trivia a lot. Let's get to this super chat here. Cree gives us $5. I have to agree with Dave. It's okay, Cree. You can be wrong. I love our guys, but Pouncey and DeCastro, injury prone, and Big Al's getting beat too much by fast pass rushers. There you go. Thank you, Cree, for the tip. We appreciate it. Brian, do you have a trivia?
Yes, I do. It's AFC Championship game weekend, and the Steelers have been in 16 AFC Championship games. They have won 8 of them, so they've got a 500 record in the AFC Championship. Now, let's look at wide receivers. They have 3 leading wide receivers. The top 3 in playoff games as far as catches, receiving yards, and touchdowns go. Who are the top 3 in that category? They're from different eras. So who would be the number one as far as touchdowns go?
So it's touchdowns and what other – just touchdowns?
Touchdowns, catches, and yards is what I'm getting at. But who would be – let's just say, who are the top 3 statistical wide receivers in AFC Championship game history for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
For the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay. I was about ready to say Seattle has 2 losses because I was looking up the spreads for the game.
I'm going to go with Lynn Swann.
He is not in my top 3.
Okay. Dave, go ahead. Your guess.
Then showed up in AFC. Let's go with Hines Ward.
Hines Ward is in there.
Okay.
He is in there with the most catches.
Okay.
But he does not have the most touchdowns. I believe he has 2. As far as touchdowns, the leader is 5.
AFC Championship.
Cowher got there more than anyone else. So, well, other than, I mean, Noel got to the Super Bowl a bunch, but Cowher got there a bunch. I'm thinking, is it Cowher era?
Yes. They were both draft. Both of these guys were drafted by Noel, though.
Hmm.
That I'm looking for. Cowher. But the touchdown, I mean, the Louis two Lips? Guys that I'm looking for. No, not Louis Lips.
Yancey Big Ben?
No, actually not.
I thought that might have been who was the touchdowns.
The touchdowns.
So that means it's not Stallworth because you said it was in the Cowher era.
No, I'm sorry. They were both. The touchdowns is Stallworth with five.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Now, the other person was drafted by Noel and played in the Cowher era. And this guy has what looks to be the most yardage in AFC championship games.
Someone who went nutso in AFC championship games. Hmm.
You guys ready?
Yeah. I'm
ready.
Number 89.
Is that Mills?
Ernie Mills.
Oh.
Mm. Ernie Mills was money in the AFC championship games.
Hmm. Very good.
Oh, sorry. Martinez said Seattle has two wins. He's so lost. Okay. Sorry.
All right. Very good. Is that it?
Yeah. That's my trivia question. Yeah.
There you go. It's a good one. Now, Lee puts $3.99 in the tip jar and says Trey Lance could be a steal in the third or fourth if available. I are you talking about third or fourth overall? I don't think there's any chance on God's green earth that he's getting out of the first round. So
we know how quarterbacks shoot up the board.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you'll hear the hype machine starting on some of these guys. It might be Trask, it might be some other ones that I've been diving into my quarterbacks now. I'm all about this Steelers taking a quarterback this year. All right, so let's finish it up with real quick some AFC and NFC championship game picks. I know that Brian and I, because we picked the same winners, we predicted all the winners. We didn't get the spreads right, the over-unders right, but we got the winners. Dave, did you get the winners from last week, or did you pick an upset, or did you pick the Saints to win?
You guys didn't pick the winners.
No, I
picked
did not.
The winners.
I picked Baltimore.
I didn't pick Baltimore.
No, you guys both picked Baltimore. I'm the one who went. I picked the Saints when you guys both picked Tampa.
Gotcha.
But I picked Buffalo when you guys both picked Baltimore.
All right. So and here I picked
the Browns to cover but not win, which is what happened. Okay. I went 3-1 on tally site with the staff.
All right. Speaking of tally site, let's get to the NFC game as first at the Brian Davis time of 3:05 p.m. Eastern time. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are getting 3 points on the road with an over-under set at 51. Guys, who's your pick? Brian, go ahead.
Take the over. Green Bay Packers are in it to win it like Iserman. They could drink about 15 Heineken. So go with A-Rod. Go with the Pack.
Easy there, Kid Rock. All right, Dave, what do you think?
Yeah, the weather's supposed to be pretty cold, which will help them. But I'll tell you why after the next one. I'm going to go Green Bay.
I'm taking the under as well. I just don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I'm going to take Green Bay giving 3. I like them on the money line as well. I think it's going to be close, but I think Green Bay is just the better football team. They're more well-rounded. So we all have Green Bay going to the Super Bowl. Next, the Buffalo Bills at the Brian Davis time of 6:40 p.m. Eastern time. Buffalo is getting 3 points. Kansas City at Arrowhead, the over-under set at 53.5. Brian, who you got?
All right, this is so hard because we really don't know the true fate of whether we're going to see number 15, Patrick Mahomes, in there. I believe that if he plays, if he definitely plays, I really think it's Kansas City's year to go back. I really love the dynamic that Allen and Diggs have put them together. I think those two really, that's your offense, and the defense is believing. I really think in the end that it's going to be Kansas City. Now, if it's Chad Henne in there, I know this is kind of your Dave answer, because he wants to wait around to see who's going to be starting. And so I'm falling in line with that, because I don't really see Chad Henne having the magic. Look, the Browns were in that game at the end, but the only reason they were in that game is because 15 wasn't. So yeah. I'm going to say right now that I'm just going to go with Kansas City because I'm putting my money on the fact that Mahomes is going to find a way to play in this game. I think he's going to get through the concussion protocol. Don't know how bad it is, but I'm just going with my gut saying, yeah, he gets in there.
All right, Dave, who you got?
Well, first of all, I do want to say something else before I answer this question, and that is because I was one who's always, I said, Kansas City was ripe for the picking because they went where they didn't play their quarterback in week 17 and they had a bye, yada, yada, yada. When does that actually work out in the one case where you're like, well, hey, at least we got our backup some experience in case he has to come in? And what do you know, out of anybody, Andy freaking Reid is the one that pulls that off, where it actually helped for his backup to play a full game in week 17. So it wasn't that much of a disaster, although that was a pretty bad interception.
Oh, it's
brutal. I am going to make the call that Patrick Mahomes starts and plays in this game. And I'm picking the Buffalo Bills. I don't matters if it's Mahomes or not. Lance Williams got a hold of me like 4 or 5 weeks before. No, it's probably 6 weeks before the end of the season. Said, who's your pick for the Super Bowl? I said, I like to see how teams are playing over their last four games. He's like, that's a cop-out answer. Give me your teams. I'm like, okay. And I threw out two teams, one of which was the Buffalo Bills. So I'm going to go with it because I still think they've been playing all right, playing well. Their defense was surprisingly very good last weekend. Because I think that they were built for and had the right approach to handle the Ravens, and their offense did enough to get it done. So I think this weekend they might have to flip the script a little bit because I'm going to take the over on this.
I'm thinking under again. There's just something about these games. Maybe it's being in the cold weather, not that either team's going to be impacted. Like Tom Brady's used to playing in cold weather. My gosh, he played in New England his whole career. You know, Buffalo, that's not going to be a big deal for them going to Arrowhead if it's inclement weather there. I just think I watched that game against Baltimore. Buffalo just totally just did not impress at all. I mean, I just thought it was awful. Everyone talks about that offense. I don't care if it was windy in Buffalo. It just, you know, I just don't feel like Josh Allen is a big game quarterback just yet. If Patrick Mahomes plays, the Chiefs win, they cover, and they're going on to the Super Bowl. If he doesn't play, no dice, then Buffalo wins. But if I'm going to assume that Patrick Mahomes is playing, therefore I have a Green Bay, Kansas City. But let me say this. I think the NFL is happy regardless. And when you think about all the possibilities it could be in the Super Bowl this year, where would you complain? What would you complain about? Tom Brady getting in? Buffalo hasn't been in since the 90s. Kansas City with the Golden Boy and Patrick Mahomes now. Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, a classic franchise. They have to be so excited for these four teams to be vying for it. We'll see how it shakes out. We'll see how it shakes out. What are you shaking your head about, Dave?
Because who's the only person who didn't give a Dave answer? Was Dave. Well, if he plays or if he doesn't.
You're talking about one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, Dave. My gosh. Like if you're
a hard time because I avoided the Dave answer. And
I mean, you have to.
But I don't blame you. If you're going to take Kansas City with Mahomes, I understand you saying that you're not taking them if he doesn't play. I'm saying I'm going to take the bet even with Mahomes because even if he plays, I think the biggest concern is his – what is it, toe or whatever injury that he has more than the concussion. I think that's going to be more of an issue.
Renee gives us $5 and says, you guys are great. Listen to you all the time. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening. And thanks for the tip. We appreciate it. All right, gentlemen, any final words? Brian?
I'm actually going to be brief. Look, sky's not falling. This team is one of those teams that always figures it out. And I think there's enough on this team that, you know, the worst case scenario, if they've got a bad year, I still think they're an 8-8 team next year. If they have a bad year, I'm not worried about this team. They're doing some things already that you don't really expect them to do. Keep the faith.
Dave, go ahead.
the sky is not falling because this, like Brian says, the numbers look bad. And last year I talked about if there's no new CBA, the Steelers are in trouble. And Brian's like, they'll find a way. Well, they found a way with the new CBA, which was great. They're going to find a way. They're going to have some guys back. They're going to extend some guys. They're going to do the things they need to do. They're going to keep this team together in the places it needs to be kept together and redo it in places where it needs redone. It's not falling. It's the pieces just have to come together, and the time has not come for that to happen in this part of the offseason.
All right. I'll keep mine as short, as shorter than everyone else. Trey Lance, 2021. Here we go. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Steelers preview. Steelers are going to draft a quarterback this year. Dave stinks. All right, Dave, why don't you send us out? Hey. All right. We'll see you all next week on another episode of Steelers preview. Take it easy.